Before I do anything, did we dismiss the children? We did? Okay, somebody asked me to remember the children to go. Okay, all right. Good morning, church. That wasn't too bad, but you can do better. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Oh, hallelujah. It's good to be in the house this morning. I want to first just greet every one of you in the house in the name of Jesus, the name that is above every other name, the name at which every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord to the glory of God. Amen. Oh, come on and worship the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. I am so privileged to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I was away last week. I don't know if you noticed, but I was not here. And Pastor Jen was not here. I had the opportunity to travel with her to Cranbrook, BC, and worship with another area of our Foursquare family at Women's Conference. And it was an amazing time in the presence of the Lord. Pastor Jen was the speaker, and the people were blessed. God was glorified. It's nice to go away. It's nice to visit. It's nice to do some different things. But let me tell you, it's good to be home. Amen? Amen. Oh, goodness. It's good to be home. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We come to worship the Lord because he's worthy. And we are not worshiping a Lord that cannot be trusted. We're not worshiping a Lord that doesn't keep his word. We're not worshiping a Lord that doesn't provide when he says he's going to provide. We're worshiping a Lord who is trustworthy, who is a promise keeper, who is a chain breaker, who is a strong deliverer, who is a Prince of Peace. That's who we're worshiping this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord. I'm so glad that God is faithful. I'm so glad that God is true. And I want to share with you, and I hope you're encouraged to know that as we journey with the Lord, there are things that come up in our lives. There are difficulties and there are challenges. And I've had felt like I've been going through a challenging time lately. And the ups and the downs and the things that want you to take your focus from who God is. But I'm here to give God thanks for his faithfulness towards me and to encourage you that if you're at that place, if you're journeying through a place like that, that the God we serve is faithful and true and he is present with you. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to look into the word of God for a few minutes. But before we do that, let's just have a word of prayer. Father, we give you glory this morning. We give you honor. We magnify your name, for you are King of Kings, Lord of Lords. You are the Lion of the tribe of Judah. You are the fetter-breaking God. You are faithful to the end. God, we honor you this morning. We pray, Lord, that as we spend a few moments looking at your word, God, that our hearts would be postured toward you, that our ears would be attuned to you, that, God, we won't miss what you want us to catch this morning. God, that we would go home transformed by the word this morning. God, I pray from my heart today, not my will, Heavenly Father, but your perfect will be done in the name of Jesus Christ, the risen Lord of heaven. Amen. And amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. This morning, I have come with a word of encouragement for each of us today. And I want to encourage you about this Jesus. This Jesus that gave his life for us, became the sacrificial lamb, the perfect lamb, whose blood was shed for the remission of sin. He took away the sins of the world, past, present, and future. That's how powerful the blood of Jesus is. And today I just want to encourage you that that same power is available to us today. So the main point of the lesson, if we have one today, is that Jesus is our good shepherd. He is the one that takes care of us. He is the one who provides. He is the one who protects, and he is the one who is present. Praise God. As we are in a series of looking at the foreshadowing of Jesus in the Old Testament and the fulfilling of it in the New, we're going to spend some time jumping between Psalms 23 today and John chapter 10. We're going to go back and forth a little bit and have a look at what the Word wants to share with us this morning. So three key points I've said already, but I'll say again. The Good Shepherd provides. The Good Shepherd protects. And the Good Shepherd is present with us always. We're going to read a few verses from Psalm 23, a scripture that many of us learned as children. And if you didn't, it's still a good word. It's a very common one, and one that we often draw on, I often draw on. And so we're just going to read a few verses from there. It says, verse 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake." The psalmist David wrote this psalm, and he was a shepherd. And it's really only a shepherd that could write a psalm like this, because David understood the relationship between a shepherd and his flock. This was no ordinary relationship. It was a very privileged position to be in, because the flocks represented a lot. The shepherd had a binding relationship with his flock. It was a relationship of both commitment and trust. The shepherd was committed to care for his flock no matter what. And the flock knew their shepherd well because of time spent together. And when we think about that, I want us to reflect on our relationship with the Lord Jesus. He is the one that cares for us. He is the one that knows us intimately. He is the one that knows our coming in and our going out. He is the one that is fully acquainted with our ways. And as I looked at these verses of scripture, it's a scripture that we learn and we read and we skip through. But I had cause to pause and think about relationship. Think about the investment in relationship. Thinking about having somebody in your life that stands with you, that stands for you, that will fight for you, that knows everything about you and still loves you. I don't know about you, but I have some faults. And I have some failures and a couple of shortcomings too. But I'm thankful to God that he loves me nonetheless because of them. And that with all of that knowledge about who I am, Jesus still went to the cross for me. When he knew all the things I had done, all the places that I was where I shouldn't have been, the times I said the things I should not have said, he has loved me nonetheless. This is our shepherd. This is the man Jesus, who has taken all of our failures, faults, shortcomings, sins, and nailed them to the cross. I'm so thankful this morning that he is my shepherd. I'm so thankful this morning that I have the opportunity to have relationship with him. Relationship is more than knowing somebody's name. It's knowing who they are. It's knowing about their character. It's knowing that you can stand with them and they stand with you. When you're in relationship with someone, it's not a surface affair. It goes deeper. And this is the relationship between the shepherd and his flock. Jesus wants to know us in an intimate way. Jesus wants to know us in an intimate way. And that's the call for us this morning, to have a deeper relationship with our shepherd, because he calls to bring us through to green pastures. His desire is to bring us to places of rest, places of nourishment, places of refreshing. That's how the psalm started. He's saying he wants to take us to these places. That's God's desire, that we spend time in those places. Because when we are rested and restored, then we can become ready for battle. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. In John 10, 1 and 4, to support these scriptures, "Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listens to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out, all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice." That spoke loudly to me when I read it. Because as a mother, I know the voice of my kids. And when one of them shouts, I know which one is shouting. And in a crowd, when my kids were young, if one of them cried, I knew exactly that was my child. I could respond to that child because that child is mine. Scripture tells us that the shepherd, his sheep know his voice. And it goes back to the point that I made before. How does he know our voices? How do we know his voice? Because of time spent in his presence with him. The Bible is using the shepherd and flock as an analogy. The sheep in the pen. We are the sheep. We are the sheep. We come to know the voice of our Savior because we spend time with him. Because we get to know him and he gets to know us. So when he calls you, you respond because you're familiar with the tone of his voice. You recognize it. And in the same way, you know a stranger. And that's not the voice that we follow. I'm so thankful to God this morning that Jesus knows us intimately and wants to know us even deeper. As I said, David was a shepherd and deeply understood the relationship that was very, very special between a shepherd and flock. This relationship was so special that even though different flocks spend time together, a sheep knows his master's voice. Do you know the voice of your shepherd? Are you hearing him speak to you? Are we spending that time with him? Are we deepening our relationship with him? These are questions that the Lord has asked me, and I'm having to spend time in the pen with him so I can answer them, because this is the call that is on our lives. We're not here just to wander through life, but we're here to do life with the shepherd. Because my life is to affect the lives of others. And so in doing that, we are walking out the will of God. We are called to make an impact in our societies, in our communities. We can only do that when we spend time in the pen, getting to know who the Savior is, getting to understand his voice, all the different tones, so that when he speaks, we respond. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to jump forward to
Verse 4. As we consider that the shepherd protects. Pastor Joel mentioned this scripture earlier on, and it really touched my heart deeply. Verse 4 says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Sometimes we can believe that being in the presence of the Lord and being in relationship with Him means that trouble doesn't come. But unfortunately, that's not the case. I would go as far as to say that when you walk with the Lord, look for the trouble. It's coming your way. Because the minute you say yes, Jesus, hell begins to become uncomfortable. And so the enemy is coming after you to separate you from this love that God has for us. And as I looked at the word and I considered that walking with Jesus, being in his presence, is sweetness and light and joy and pleasure and privilege. But troubles do come. There are periods of life when we must walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And it may not be physical death always. Trouble comes in different shapes and sizes. Sometimes trouble is sickness in the family. Sometimes trouble is loss in the family. Sometimes trouble is financial strain in the family. Sometimes it's other things. But it comes. And the word of God says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou art with me. Thou art with me." It was a few years ago when I received a call from my sister who let me know that my mom was not at all well. Introduction. Valley. It was a tough time walking through that, hearing the reports and not seeing the change I would love to see, recognizing the valley. When I would pray and seek the face of God for change in the circumstance, and I didn't see the change I wanted to see, recognizing the valley. But the word of God said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." The time came when the Lord saw fit to take my mother home. It was one of the toughest times I have ever experienced. A sadness. A loss, a brokenness, as though a piece of me had been taken. But in the midst of it all, I remembered that even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because the Lord is with me. I use that example to highlight there are points in life where we almost feel as though the Master has left us. And we wonder, God, why? But that same Father, that same Shepherd, I want you to know, even when you don't feel it, He holds us in the palm of His hand. And that is why we can go through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because of the company that we are keeping. We are in the company of the Master. And because He walks with us, we have all the covering that we need. We have all the protection that we need. Protection over the physical body. Protection over the battlefield of the mind. Protection of all the times when you think you can't make it through. He's present. He is present. He is present. So I say this to you, people of God. Trouble comes when you walk with Jesus. You might feel you shouldn't have trouble, but let me tell you, you're going to get some trouble in your life. And let me tell you this too. I have learned to come to appreciate some of the trouble. Because you know what the trouble does? It drives me to my knees. The trouble drives me into the presence of the Lord. It drives me to the face of my master. And it forces me to spend time with him. Because there are things I don't understand. But I know he knows it all. Amen? He knows it all. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We're running through. I'm very aware of time this morning. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I do want to read from John chapter 10 again, verse 7 to 13. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I, Jesus, am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only. The thief comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full." One scripture says, "Have it more abundantly." I love that God, through Jesus, doesn't do anything in halves. I love that God, through Jesus, is perfect in all his ways. And when he's going to do anything for us, it's in abundance. So God means for us to operate in an overflow. He's not talking about a little bit at the bottom, halfway full. The God I serve is a God of full to overflow. That's where God wants us to be operating from. I'm so thankful for that. People of God, love Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Don't let him out of your sight. He's your protector. He's the one that walks with you and guides you and protects you. He's the one that allows us to stand when we would absolutely fall. It's him. He is the gate. He is the one who stands for you. Scripture describes Jesus in the New Testament when he says, "I'm the good shepherd." He describes himself as the gate. Now, the gate speaks of access. And I love that Jesus is our access. Because of the fall of man, ties between us and God were severed. Problems came in. Sin ran rampant. But God, in his love for us, looked down the line and said, "I'm going to make a way for my children. I am going to give my prize. I'm going to give the best of myself. I am going to be the embodiment, but I'm going to save them. I'm going to make a way for them." And this is Jesus. This is who Jesus is for us. He is the one who gives us access to the Father, to a heart that is full of endless love. The gate. Jesus is the gate. That is the only way we can get to the Father. There's no other access. No other way that we can get to him. And I just thank God for Jesus this morning that he is the gate. He's the gate across the opening that keeps us safe. He's the gate that we can go in and out of and still remain in the presence of the Lord. Because of him, we will find pastures. Because of him, we can take ownership with our Savior, our Father, our King, and our Lord. We are not sheep wandering in the darkness. But because of Jesus, he brings us close to him and keeps us safe with him. We are protected and we are covered and we are kept safe. And finally, verse 5. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our heads with oil. Our cups run over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord. A short scripture, but one that is packed. Packed with God's faithfulness to us. It opens up with relationship. It opens up with identifying who we are. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd." David said that because he knew that God was his shepherd. He had this relationship. David didn't talk about something he didn't know about. And I love this little psalm because for every child of God who recognizes Jesus as Savior, this is your psalm. This is my psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He's going to provide for me. He's going to take care of me. Even when things are impossible in my eyes, he will take care of me. He will provide. He will make a way. It wasn't too long ago, I was in desperate need of a vehicle. Desperate need. And I couldn't afford one. I'm not ashamed to tell you, church. Didn't have the money, but I needed a car. And you know what I did? I talked to the Lord about it. And I said, "Father, I need to talk to you." And so he said, "Okay, what you got to say?" I said, "Listen up. My car is failing, Lord. I can't even make a pretty story. It is downright failing. And I need a car. And I don't have the money for a car. But I know the cattle on 1,000 hills are yours. I know that you are my provider." And I told God, I said, "Lord, this is what I'm going to do." I said, "Father, I need a car, but I will ride the bus until you make a way." Didn't really want to ride the bus, but I was happy to ride the bus. And I left it there with the Father, and I said, "God, you know my heart." And I know Michael was so concerned. He said, this is not good for you to be driving around and taking the kids and all of that stuff. I rode the bus for 3 days. And on the third day, oh, Jesus, I love Jesus. I'm coming down because I have to come down. On the third day, a woman of God met me in the lobby. And she said, I need to tell you something. I don't know why, but I just need to tell you something. I said, "Come on and talk. What's going on?" She said, "I have this car in my garage sitting there." She said, "I tried to sell it, but God told me, no, don't sell it because I have somebody for that car. Bring it right back." I said, "Okay." And people of God, I kid you not, I stood before this woman and I couldn't speak. And you know me, I got words, but I couldn't speak. She continued to talk and she said, I just believe that God has a plan. And that she said, "I don't know why I'm telling you. You're the first person I'm told." I said, "Okay." So she's looking at me, realizing there's not much response coming. But I was in awe of this man. I was in awe because my shepherd showed up when I needed him. Just clap your hands, of course. Of course. Of course. She said to me, "I have a feeling that you may know something about this car." She said, I feel like you have something to tell me about it, but we're going to talk. I went home that night. Michael picked me up because remember, I was on the bus. And he picked me up and I told him what had transpired and he was silent. And I said to him, "Answer, what are you thinking?" And this is exactly what I had done to the woman, but never mind. I chastised my husband for it. I said, "Talk to me." He said, "Rose, could this really be God showing up that quick?" I said to him, "Well, it looks like it." I said, "I'm going to make a phone call because I have to talk to this woman because I know the deciding factor is going to be when she tells me what she wants for the car. is going to be over because I know I don't have it. Well, when I spoke to this woman of God, she said to me, well, zero. She said, I don't want anything from you. She said, to know that I can bless you is enough for me. Okay, everybody should be shouting right now. Yes. And I'm saying this to say, he is our provider. For me, it was a car in that moment. But for you, it might be something else. I don't know what it is you have before the Lord. But one thing I will tell you today with confidence is that he is our great provider. He is the good shepherd this morning. The Bible said, no good thing will he withhold from them who walketh uprightly. Walk uprightly. Live in his presence because he'll provide for you. There is nothing too hard for God. He will provide. He will protect. Whatever you are going through, he's present with us. I want you to know that the same confidence that David had when he spoke in Psalm 23 is the same confidence we ought to have today when we stand up and say, the Lord is my shepherd. He is our good shepherd. He has declared to us in John 10 that he is our good shepherd, and he has done nothing to make me disbelieve him. He has been faithful to me down through the years. And I want to encourage your hearts this morning with this simple word. Simple but powerful. That the Lord is our good shepherd. Wherever you are, whatever you're facing, whatever has been marked impossible, Jesus died so that it would be made possible. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise his name. Praise God. People of God, I just want to bless you this morning. As I return the service, I'm going to ask the worship leaders to come on out. And we are going to finish as we started, giving God the glory that's due to his majestic name. I wonder if you would just stand with me in the presence of the Almighty. Turn your eyes upon Jesus right now. Look full in his wonderful face. Let the things of this world grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Father, we just want to thank you this morning that you have been present with us. We thank you this morning that you have reminded us that you are our provider. God, there is nothing that you cannot do this morning. So God, we recognize you as our provider today, and we thank you. We thank you that as we walk with you, we can be protected because we are covered under the blood of Jesus. And Father, we honor you that there's nowhere we can go and be out of your presence. So Father, as we leave this point of the service, we pray your blessing upon it. And as we worship out, Father, would continue the work that you've begun in our hearts this morning. We would not fail to give you the glory. I speak blessing over every person in this place, and I thank you for hearing and answering our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.